Hello and welcome to this episode of Demystified as we explore home cooking in a modern world. I'm Linda and I'm here with my friend Paul. Hey, how you going, Paul?
Hello, Linda.
How are you?
Good.
All very good. What are we talking about? We're talking today about fry pans and the use of them in oven cooking, because I've been looking at different recipes online at different things.
This is kind of topical, actually, because I've just been doing that now. Well, like 5 minutes ago.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wish I'd stuck my head in. I won't ask what you're cooking because that'll get us distracted. But a few recipes I've seen, and one was including a roast, okay?
Yeah.
And there was no need for the fry pan wasn't actually used in any part of searing the beef or any part of it. But one recipe I saw was just take a fry pan with a long handle, put your veggies on the bottom, throw your beef on top, whack it in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, why would you use a fry pan for that and not just a normal frying pan?
Okay, hold on. What do you mean not just a
normal? Well, sorry, a normal oven tray, like a normal baking oven. Yeah, something like that you would normally use. Why was the recipe specifically asking? Well, this is a person who does a lot of recipes, and I just thought, I wonder why. Is there a preference? Does it cook anything differently?
There might be. There's some. I'd have to see the recipe to sort of understand. But there might be some reasoning for it. The only reason I can think of is depending on your fry pan material and your roasting dish material. Like, I remember back in the day, people used to use Pyrex dishes, glass.
Used to? What do you mean used to?
Well, I haven't seen it in a while.
Okay.
So the only reason I could think of is maybe it could have been what the fry pan was made out of might have conducted the heat a bit faster, may well have, or a bit better, might have been flatter, which if they're lining the base it would be with roasted vegetables, because quite often you'll find with roasting dishes, especially those that come with ovens, is that they're not super flat. And the reason that they're not super flat is to allow for warping. So when you put a coal roasting dish or baking tray into a hot oven quite often, they'll warp.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I've noticed
difference
that.
In heat, right? So you're going from something cold to something hot, and the tray will have a kick.
Yep, I've noticed that.
A little bit, but it will return to its original shape. But roasting trays are quite often not flat, but reinforcement in it when they build it there's a term for it. I can't think of it right now. To allow for that warping of the tray, so it always returns to what it was originally beforehand. But in this scenario, I'd have to see the recipe to understand why. Generally, if you're going to use a fry pan to roast in, you probably would have sealed it, and it's just a convenience thing. It's like using your Dutch oven, right?
Yeah.
You start off cooking, searing stuff, whatever, on your cooktop, and then you take the whole thing and stick it in your oven. Like, there's no real difference. So I don't know why they've chosen to use a fry pan. Maybe they pulled all their veggies out and their protein, whatever it was that they were cooking, and made a sauce with what was left without having to.
Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah, it might have been that.
But there's no particular, I can't think of any particular reason why you would, but like I was saying to you just 5 minutes ago, I was exactly doing that.
What were you making?
I was just making sure the recipe that I've written for someone else is correct. Quite often, and it seems to be a bit, I don't know how this comes up, but this historically happens to me all the time. So when I decide that I'm going to go down the rabbit hole of something, it always seems to be then I find it on Instagram. I don't know if my phone's listening to me or what's happening, and then I see it in magazines or whatever. So at the moment, dumplings, right? So the thing with dumplings, and I tried this out at home the other night. Now, my partner doesn't care for dumplings that much. I know it's...
I'm just looking confused. Right. I know.
That's a divorceable...
Anyway. Really?
So,
and she loves Chinese food.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was doing these dumplings. Well, she doesn't like steamed dumplings, but she doesn't like dumplings that are fried, okay, like all fried all around. So the thing at the moment and what a lot of people are doing is doing what's called a dumpling lace, right? So they're making, you make like a slurry out of flour, water, essentially. And when you pan fry your dumplings, you pour that into the base and all the water cooks out, and then you're left with essentially like a crispy extra part of the double, which is what I gave you the other day.
And it was really interesting. It was quite picturesque.
Yeah. So what, well, it also adds texture, right? So what most people do is they will, with their dumplings, if they're doing a pan-fried dumpling, and this is a pan-fried but steamed dumpling, is they put their dumplings in a fry pan on their cooktop, add some water, steam it, and then evaporate the water, and then add this flour-water mix, and then pan-fry it. And I was thinking, it's a bit of a step process. So rather than do that, what I did was put some oil in the base of a fry pan, put my dumplings raw straight into a cold fry pan, and put the fry pan in the steamer. Steam my dumplings for about 7 minutes so I get a proper steamed dumpling, pardon me, and then take the fry pan out. I just give the base of it a wipe just for any condensation, then put it over a really high heat on my cooktop. So I'm having to skip a step of adding water to a fry pan to make that steam environment, and I don't have to cook them as long to evaporate all that water.
Mm-hmm.
So then I add my slurry mix, my flour water mix, and then just cook it. So it's, it saves a bit of time, but I'm also getting the same result, but it's not the traditional way of doing it. Nonetheless, putting my fry pan in the oven. And that's, I could just take it straight from the oven to the cooktop and vice versa. Generally, you're going from your cooktop to your oven with your fry pan, but I don't know why they did it on that recipe. You'd have to show me the recipe. I've got no, you may well need to read between the lines. They might have been sponsored by a fry pan company.
Mm.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
But I just wonder, because I do see it in a few recipes, and this one just struck me because it was obviously roast, but like veggies, meat on top, into the
practicality standpoint, like searing something in a fry pan and then adding it to a cold vessel like a roasting dish is not the best process, right? Because you're taking something that's gone from hot to cold and then putting it into a hot oven. So you need the roasting dish to come up to temperature. So whenever I do a roast at home, any roast, my roasting dish goes into the oven and heats with the oven. And then when I'm ready to start my roast, whether I'm searing it or not, my veggies, my, you know, lamb, chicken, doesn't matter, is already hot. So I'm not having to wait for my roasting dish to come up to temperature as well as the food.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's good practice to have the vessel that you're cooking in already hot. And it's pastry crisps do it often. So you like if you're working on a sheet tray or, you know, making cookies or cakes or anything like that. It's not always, but often you'll have something that's pre-warm. Pizza's the best example, right? So you work with a pizza stone at home. Yeah. You heat the pizza stone first with the oven and then put your pizza on top. Same theory. Gets you. It just saves the oven from working harder to come up to temp. And you won't be waiting as long for your stuff to cook.
I have put my fry pan in the oven once because I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a little bit of a klutz in the kitchen, and I cut myself a lot.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Well, the other thing I learned is that I forget because it was the first time I'd ever tried it. Took my fry pan, put it into the oven, finished it off, took it out with a tea towel. But when I was going to get some things out of the fry pan to serve up, I just grabbed the handle. And right across my palm, I had embedded the emblem of the fry pan.
Yeah, that does happen.
Yeah. But
the funny thing is, like, fry pans going into
the oven like is all goodness.
Common nature in restaurants. It's very common.
Yeah.
So if you've got a particularly, like, let's say a very dense, thick fillet of fish, quite often, they'll be pan-fried to start with and then go in the oven. Now, they're not in there for ages because it's a piece of fish, but quite often because you just don't want to lose tent putting the piece of fish onto a cold surface, especially if you're trying to, let's say, roast a piece of fish, like a big piece of luai or hapuka or something like that, really dense.
Okay.
So quite often, yeah, that's the case, absolutely. So, but in the specific one that you're talking about, I don't know.
No, that's all right. I just wondered as a method.
So I've got a question for you.
Oh, dear.
So last week we talked about grossness and ruined spoon.
Yes.
And you said that you were going
I did that. I did. And it was interesting. We had two. I'd forgotten about one because we don't use that one at all, which is probably good because it was also splintering. But I did take the favourite wooden spoon and and it had recently come out of the dishwasher, by the way, and hadn't been used since. So I put it into the jug, poured in the boiling water, and put the two wooden spoon and spatula type thing in there and waited. And the water was really murky.
Yeah.
And when Doug saw it, he sort of came along and, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, Paul, you know," taught him about what we talked about and things. And, "But what did you add to the water?" "Nothing. That's come out of the wooden spoon." "Yeah," we said, "I don't think we need to be cooking with that again." So it was, and that had come out of the dishwasher. So, and our dishwasher, as you know, is a good one.
Yeah.
But it was still really murky.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really interesting. I'll send you the photo I took.
Anyway, I just thought.
So yes, it was.
Just a follow up. No. Because we quite often forget to follow up on.
No, we did. I did do that. The,
what we talk about.
The next day. Absolutely. And I was quite surprised.
Yeah, it's a bit gross.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be used again. Neither of them actually, really.
Yeah. And what was your second question?
Yeah, I've forgotten. You know I've forgotten. I went to write it down and I couldn't remember. And it was, yeah, no, sorry, mate. I've got, maybe that one's for next week. But, yeah, no, I can't remember.
Okay. Well.
But thanks for reminding me.
That's all right.
I've forgotten.
I suppose we should remind people that we've done a new newsletter. So those of you
that haven't signed
up for our newsletter, sign up. And that'll come out once a month. All sorts of interesting information.
Mm-hmm.
This month we've
and links.
Yeah, and links. This month, just so people could see, I bought recently a whole Aura King 7.
Oh, wow.
And one of the reasons I like to cook that and, you know, I use it for demos and all sorts of stuff, is that it's from a really sustainable aquaculture.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually put a picture on the newsletter of that salmon's individual tag number, and you can actually see where it's from. So we've put that on the link. So it won't always be about steam, but just interesting, you know, kind of things that people are doing now with food, so you can trace its life, I suppose, where it came from. It shows you in which tank it came from, which pool, when it was butchered, all the rest of it. Tells me everything.
Oh, wow.
Really quite interesting.
And where did you buy that from?
Seafood Supplier.
Oh, okay.
We're not sponsored by them, so I'm not
going to. No. No, but yeah. I just wondered if it was generally available or only for a special.
I mean, you need to ask your fishmonger specifically for New Zealand king salmon, and they may well be able to tell you.
Okay.
But I know Aura King salmon, that particular brand.
Not sponsored by.
That particular aquaculture mm-hmm. fishery.
Yeah.
That's what they do. And I mean, that fish is, I suppose it flies in the face a little bit of sustainability, but that particular fish is globally available. So they send that all around the world. So, yeah, it's really, well, I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Well, I was at the Preston Market this morning having a wander around and went through the fish area and I saw some nice looking tuna fillets, but nothing like what you're saying. So might be a bit hard to find, but it's maybe worth a look.
Worth a look. Anyway, I think that's all.
Nothing else?
No, nothing else.
You're doing any cooking this weekend?
Well, yes, we're back on the road of cooking demonstrations. So that's New Year, more cooking demonstrations. So a little bit slow at the moment in that world, but we'll see what happens. So,
is there a lot, are you finding, because you do so many demos in your professional life now, are you finding that people's interests, they're coming a little bit more informed when they come to you about? And it's not you. I know you present on more than just steam ovens, but
that
can be steam ovens.
That's
but
still the.
Is there a general awareness that they're here or what they do, or is everyone still like yeah, we so, were? I was going, huh? What?
Nah. So I think what I'm saying is that there is a little bit more awareness, but there is still the same lack of understanding of what's. Okay, why am I spending an extra X amount of dollars to get this oven? So I think, and I mean, a lot of this comes down to what I've always thought is it's about the language that's used around these appliances. So, yeah, people are certainly more aware of their existence because pretty much, I mean, everyone's got one. You can buy them at IKEA now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the awareness is there, but the why I need it is still yet to be established in a lot of people's minds. And the other one too, and it's even probably older, is still induction. So people are, you know, I had a client the other day who, you know, she had been quoted for a pyrolytic oven and gas cooktop. And so I showed her the ins and outs of induction at a commie steam oven, and she changed her order.
No.
You know, and it's not because it's not through lean being, because I'm not a salesman, right? But it's not a this is better than the other. But if you're not informed, how can you make a choice? So if you don't understand it, or the technology or the way they work, or, you know, because a lot of people still think that induction is electric. Now, while it is an electric cooktop, it isn't the old electric glowing red glass cooktop.
The ceramics.
Yeah, ceramic cooktop. So people automatically think, oh, it's just a new word for electric. So I don't care whether people buy a gas cooktop or an induction cooktop or a combi steam oven or non-combi steam oven or that. I don't care. But how can you actually make an informed choice about what is a large amount of money that you're going to spend if you haven't been given the whole story?
No, correct.
You know, you don't go and test drive one car.
No.
You probably test drive two or three different ones to go, oh, maybe this suits me better. I'm not sure. I don't know. You try a few. You know, how often do you try a pair of shoes? This isn't comfortable. This isn't comfortable. You make an informed decision about things that cost far, far less than a full kitchen renovation, but yet you walk in and you go, oh, I'm only being fed really half the story a lot of the time. So that's how I'm kind of looking at demonstrations now, not from the perspective of, okay, you need to own a combi steam oven and not an induction cooktop. I'm very much of the opinion of, okay, most people have a pretty fair understanding of what a multifunction pyrolytic oven will do. And sometimes they just want to know the ins and outs of particular brands' functionality within their oven. And that's all well and good. And you can, well, I can teach people about that. That's easy. But if they actually, if all I've heard is a commie steam oven's really good, that's not helpful.
It's not enough,
right?
Is it?
It's not enough. And as you would know, right, you kind of need to see them in action a little bit and have someone explain it to you clearly about what they do before you go, okay, that's worth my money. So my view on demonstrations has changed quite a bit. Rather than trying to be the introductory person to the technology, which probably 4 years ago, that's what we were doing. We were trying to go, okay, so everything's going to be focused a little bit more on steam and induction because it's relatively new technology to a lot of people that haven't bought a oven cooktop range and kitchen suite in a long time. So rather than introduce the technology, I'm very much going, okay, let's explain it a little bit further that way that when you're deciding. And because, you know, the client that I saw the other day, she's like, this is it. This is my forever kitchen now. This is a one-time shot. You know, the kids have left home.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to renovate again. I'm in my latter years. Not that she was that old, but I'm in my latter years. So this is a one-time thing. And I'm like, well, given that that's your situation, why wouldn't you want to know about your
option? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's how I look at it now. So it's a little bit different. People are certainly more aware. And the retailers are absolutely, you know, much more aware because there's a little bit more probably money in the game for them when it comes to higher price point products.
Yeah.
And that's the same with the manufacturers and everyone. I mean, you spend more money, they make more money. That's the way of the world, right? Yeah, it's about, just helping people make an informed choice.
Okay.
I don't personally care what you choose to do. Like, that's not my job. But if you haven't had it explained to you, how can you make an informed choice? Because then you're just buying an oven on what is effectively the features and benefits that you're sold to by the salesperson that you happen to run into that might be promoting a particular brand on a particular day because they're getting
a particular commission.
A particular commission, which is exactly what happened to you.
Which is exactly what happened to me.
So, that's where I see demonstrations now working at the moment. Until there's a vast change in technology, I kind of think, okay, it's an information session to not only help people make an informed decision, but help them understand why these things will help them cook. It's not necessarily going to make people a better cook. That's the biggest mistake people make. Oh, I'm going to be a better cook because I bought a $10,000 oven. It's not true. So not true at all. You're going to be a better cook if you understand fundamental technique method and have a pretty clear understanding of what temperature does. Those three things will make you a better cook. But a new shiny toy won't. So you buy a Ferrari, it's not going to make you a better driver at all.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't a second question, but it certainly has been. But it certainly was something that, very interesting. Well, thank you.
Yeah, we'll go out. And for all those people that have owned ovens for a while, is some people that still do offer, demonstrations or help with your appliances. And, of course, you can always contact us. We're brand agnostic. So we'll help.
No, we don't. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't care.
We're not affiliated with any brand.
No. So if you want to know a bit more and you know someone, the amount of people that I still know, that I still talk to, you go, oh, yeah, my friend got a combi stove oven, doesn't use it. I reckon 50% of the world's combi stove ovens that are sold and not used, at least. And one other thing I'd like to say, thanks to the one or two people in the Czech Republic that bought our book and the one person
I Oh, yes, that. That's right. That's
what was it? Czech Republic.
The Czech Republic.
Oh, there was one in Iceland.
There was one in Poland.
And Poland.
Yeah. So, hello.
Yes, hello. We didn't speak Czech or Polish, so.
No, we barely speak English, but that we did recognise that. Well, thank you very much for all the people who've bought Demystified, both locally and internationally.
Yeah.
We're very pleased with how it's been received and how it's been picked up.
Next book soon. Hurry up, Doug.
I know. He's still working on it. You can't get good help these days.
Editor in chief. You can't.
No, we're not. And we're not. I know.
And he doesn't get paid.
He doesn't get paid. And last time.
He might get paid with
and
roast if he loses.
Maybe. And given that last time the three of us and our spouses all checked Demystified and we still missed major chunks of recipe errors, I'm trusting Dougie to take his time.
Yeah.
And do it. So, the next book will be out soon. So good to see everybody. And good to see you, Mr. Paul. And we will be in touch until next time. Happy cooking, everybody.
Happy cooking. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast as we explore home cooking in a modern world. We'd love you to subscribe. And for more information, please go to our website, cookingwithsteam.com.